dead.
Why the fancy red suit, Mr. Poole?
Oh, that's because it's Christmas Day, Dopinder.
And I'm after someone on my naughty list.
You're probably thinking, this was a superhero movie, but that guy in the suit just turned that other guy into a kebab. Surprise, this is a different kind of superhero story. To tell it right, we gotta take you back before I squeezed into red spandex.
You might have thought that this was a movie spoilers review, but this is a different kind of movie spoilers review, especially when that other critic over there, Lane Wayne, told that other critic to go fuck himself because he didn't like this film. This is a different kind of review here, folks.
Perfect way to sum this shit up. Perfect.
Oh, people. We're here to talk about that Deadpool, Wayne.
Deadpool! The Ryan Reynolds.
About time Ryan Reynolds came back to us.
And please, we're not doing that Wolverine origin shit, are we? Please.
Oh my god, this movie takes so many shots at Wolverine.
Shot. My god. But what film franchise did they not have in target in this film?
Fucking I was genius. About to say, I think so I was talking to someone, they were talking about, man, this movie really did talk about a lot of superhero films, and I looked at him and said, no, you need to point out the one thing that this movie really talked about is the whole fucking X-Men series. This movie shits on everything X-Men has done in the past 16 years.
And the worst thing is, it is Fox itself giving shit to Fox. And I'm like, it's like, even they realize how fucked up this timeline is.
Hey, Wayne, as long as they understand that it's fucked up, then good for them.
Like,
it makes you wonder, they understand it's fucked up, how come they can't fix this shit?
Thank you. I think it's just too fucked up now, it's like, you know what, just let it die off, and we'll rebuild it sooner or later.
Well, the story of it is, they didn't want nothing to do with this film. I'm sure the sequel they'll have a lot to do with, once this makes a lot of money.
Oh, God, yeah.
The story is, though, that they just gave this, that Ryan Reynolds said, here's $30 million, you even if you fuck up and this movie sucks, it's only $30 million, so it's not really much. It's not really much. But,
Ryan Reynolds. This cost $30 million, that's it.
Yeah.
What the fuck did He-Man do?
Sure, it was a little bit more. I'm pretty sure there's a little bit more for the marketing, whatever, probably like extra 10 minutes, but it's probably around the $50 million range. Whatever.
You just said they're marketing. This, fuck anything Warner's doing or any shit. This shit has had the best marketing campaign I've seen in a long time behind any film.
I think, I was going to say every superhero, not even superhero, but just regular film in general, I think this had some of the best marketing I've ever seen in my life, personally.
Oh, God, yeah. They even had Betty White do a review for it. That's genius. That's fucking perfect.
They even had him doing holidays, Halloween, Christmas, Australia Day.
He was in Mexico on one of them.
which, by the way, he did crack a Wolverine Australian joke in here as well.
Oh, I love that shit.
But no, you know, Fox probably, they sat back and, you know, Ryan Reynolds found this director, Tim Miller. And Tim Miller, he hasn't directed a damn thing. He hasn't done anything. Only thing he's done was shorts. He did the art style for Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and that's about it.
Shit. No, I didn't know his fucking name.
And now, I would say probably that art style, though, for Scott Pilgrim kind of helped him direct this film because the styles are somewhat similar and being unique in a way. But the writers they got for this film, I believe they did, you're going to laugh at this, they did Zombieland and G.I. Joe Retaliation, the second one.
Well, 50-50, one's good. one's pretty shit.
I was like, so you probably take that as you want it, because I think the writers was Rob Liefeld and Paul Wernick, and the only two films they did, they're a dual writer team, and they did Zombieland and G.I. Joe.
What a weird combination that is.
I know, right? It's like, how the fuck you go from Zombieland to G.I. Joe?
They clearly didn't give a fuck about that franchise.
I mean, and then, well, you know, you see the comedic jinx of Woody Harrelson in Zombieland, and you come here to like somewhere like T.J. Miller and Deadpool and stuff like that, and you just like, I see where the pieces laid out, but Ryan Reynolds also did a screen testing as to who knew more about Deadpool for directors and stuff like that. And they did a screen test with Tim Miller here, the director. And he just was perfect for Ryan Reynolds as far as knowing everything about the character itself. Because the movie, at least the character itself, it takes a lot from the Joe Kelly era of the comic writer for Deadpool, which I was just getting that vibe all over or whatever. I love Joe Kelly, what he did with Deadpool and stuff. He has a lot of comedic hijinks in there. As far as, if I'm not saying, he's the one that kind of started the breaking the fourth wall trend as well, too.
Oh, God, yeah. Just to start off with this review, people, you got to understand, Deadpool relates to me and P1 in a big way. He loves his booze. He loves his sex. He's a smart ass. And he insults every motherfucker.
That's yeah,
pretty much, it's pretty much me and you wrapped into a nice red little bow tie.
That's if me and you was, you know, we could have children and we fucked each other and we had a child and Deadpool came out from
it. It'd be Deadpool. Perfect.
That's basically if someone just took some blood DNA from, you know, because me and you were getting old and dying, and someone took blood DNA from me and you and just spliced it in a tube and said, here you go, I'm going to make a person out of this.
According to you motherfuckers, I am dying, so shit, I could be Deadpool before you know.
Oh, then let's take some blood from you real quick, then. I might need that when I clone myself.
That's if I have any blood left. My anorexia dying off.
So, yeah, let's just go ahead. But I'll go ahead and get Plasinoff. Plasinoff is this, though. What I love about this origin story, too, is how it was done, how it was shot, and how it was style choice as far as not going, starting off with him as a regular human being and then going into the superhero, because I thought that's what they were going to do, but they open up with him as a superhero.
Oh, and one of the best opening credit sequences I've seen. I love that shit. That shit was fucking having me laugh my ass off.
Oh, that credit sequence, my favorite credit sequence of all time was Skyfall. But I gotta say, from a laughing standpoint, yeah, it wasn't even a minute into the film in the credits. I'm laughing. The whole audience is
fucking laughing. The Green Lantern little photo.
That shit had me rolling.
Like, goddamn.
It wasn't even a minute in the film, people, and he was already talking shit about other films. I was like, damn.
He's talking shit about himself, and I'm like, god damn. Even he's taking pot shots at Green Lantern saying how fucked up it was.
Yeah, exactly, because what I love about the credit sequence, too, it's that freeway chase scene, but it's done in slow motion to where it's showing the people that made the film and stuff, but instead of saying their names, it's saying, like...
He's just putting shit on them all. I love that.
Yeah, he's like the director of it, some asshole.
So I'm like... I'm just sitting there laughing. Jamie's looking at me going, like, what the fuck are you laughing at? Like, this shit's just... This is me and P1 wrapped up. Which everything's just insulting.
It's like some asshole. And then it's at the producers, 20th Century, go fuck yourself.
Yes.
And then what I loved about... let me finish the synopsis here. So Deadpool, he goes through here and he's looking for some British dude, Mr. Ajax himself, who Deadpool likes to call Francis once he found out his real name. If you're a villain, never let your smart-ass hero find out your real name, especially if it's
Francis. Yeah.
Because Ryan Reynolds wouldn't shut the fuck up. That shit will get on your nerves if he's just like, yeah, I'm going to fuck your face up.
At least he's honest.
Yeah, it's Scrimmon. He played Ajax in here, and he's looking for this guy, but meanwhile, in the storyline, he kind of tells you how he met this prostitute.
Thank God she got her ass off Gotham.
You said it before I could say it. I'm going to say, yeah, thank God, because she was, I remember before we stopped doing those reviews, she was the most talented thing on that goddamn show.
I think that was one of the last episodes we did of Gotham. We were like, oh shit, she's going to be in Deadpool. Thank fucking God, I hope she gets naked. And yes, thank God she did.
And another thing, too, we were just like, why the fuck is she with Gordon in this fucking show? She's such a waste of her time. Yeah,
Gordon or Ryan Reynolds. What a fucking hard decision that'd be.
She was like the female version of Deadpool in this movie, though. It was like, it for me, it was like love at first sight. I was like, oh, she's a smart ass like me. I said, I love her. Come back.
But you're right. The chemistry was just straight off the bat. It was like, sex, sex, sex. You know what? I actually love you. I was like, there's a true love story. That's Valentine's Day wrapped up in a perfect ball for you.
Well, it's funny because she's a fucking prostitute. And I was like, yeah,
it doesn't matter.
I was like, that sounds like something I would pick up, yeah. and she's playing a prostitute, Wade Wilson. He takes her out, and then next thing they end up fucking. But then, you know, a couple of months pass by, and they end up falling for each other, where he madly falls for her because she's pretty much the splitting opposite of him.
Oh, God,
sounds like somebody I know, myself. But he finds out later after really proposing to her, that he gets cancer in every fucking. I don't even know if this cancer kind of exists, but god damn, I was like, yeah, I've read the comics and shit, but damn, just watching it on screen just make this shit look even worse than what it was.
It was a brain, lungs, kidney, fucking liver. It was like, oh shit,
yeah, you're fucked. Liver, his ass, it was everywhere. I was like, god damn, dude. I was like, yeah, I don't know how you can fucking live through that. And I ain't gonna lie, a part of me would just start like kind of moving in my seat. I was like, how the fuck you live with
that? Well, even how comedic and, you know, he breaks the fourth wall a lot. It also shows in this, Ryan Reynolds is a fucking good actor. When it comes to the whole cancer scene, he really played it deadly serious for those little bits, and then he'd go, oh, fuck it, now back to the comic side of it.
Well, especially the scene where he was crying when it was raining that night or whatever and stuff like that. I was like, wow, it's funny because when he's not in the Deadpool costume, he is still funny, but at the same time, I don't want to say the movie slows down, but what it does is it doesn't feel like it's this goofy show. You know, I almost say that the trailer kind of shows you all of the Deadpool moments, but when you watch the movie, the Deadpool moments are so fucking fantastic because they're so funny and the jokes are so good that, like, the trailer is just like, oh, this is just like a teaser of me getting to see the movie or something like that. Because what you see in the trailer is pretty much all the Deadpool scenes in the movie.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That is a good point. You hardly see him outside of the mask in the trailers and promos. But I think that's the heart. That's the actual heart of the film. Whereas the Deadpool shit's all the comedian. Yeah, that's the part people want to see. But without the heart, the other parts don't really mean much.
So this, as this dude, as Ryan Reynolds calls him, he's the guy that's lurking for kids and shit like that in the suit.
Agent Smith.
Agent Smith.
I was like, fucking laugh. Like, genius.
Agent Smith. I'm going to call him Agent Smith. That's his name. Agent Smith. He comes by and he pretty much tells him, hey, we know you got cancer. What if we told you we could rebuild you, make you into pretty much a superhero? And at first, Ryan Reynolds kind of declines, says, you kind of sound like a shake weight infomercial.
Especially love that last line when he goes, like, thank you all, you know, but, you know, I'm not accepting your deal, but by the way, you should get moving because there's like a school 20 yards down the street. And the police, I was like, oh man, I love you, Deadpool.
And then he told TJ Miller, he says, drinks on him, by the way. He knew I got drunk. But so, you know, eventually, obviously, the fear of death gets into him. So he takes him up on his offer. And what they do with his powers and stuff like that by injecting him with pretty much, you know, mutant genes and stuff like that, and torturing him until those genes kind of take over and stuff like that. That's true to the comics itself there.
Ah, good, because I wasn't sure about that. I knew a little bit about the origin, but I wasn't sure. So that actually does happen.
It's funny because when it got down here, I was waiting for them. I was waiting for Deb or Ryan Reynolds to crack a joke by saying, oh, this looks like a cheaper version of that first movie we were in. I kept waiting for them to say Weapon X so much. I was like,
oh, yeah, I was waiting for a Wolverine.
And I was like, where's the Wolverine origin joke going to kick in here? They didn't do any right there, but he did make some Green Lantern cracks there. I was like, damn.
Make sure the suit's not green. Or CG. I'm
like, yeah. Or animated. obviously, you know, he breaks free after, you know, pretty much talking shit to Ajax so fucking much. Ajax just has no point to just burn his face pretty much until he, you know, he gets to use his powers. He escapes, and next, you know, he's on a... He's not a regular hero, people. He's not trying to stop Ajax from stopping the world, or from saving the world, or anything like that. No, he's looking for Ajax because he fucked his face up.
I like it because they even give shit to it. It's like the most simplest revenge. It's, yeah, man falls in love, gets fucked up, someone grabs the girl, and he goes after him. That's basically, and they even give shit to that storyline going,
this I was going to say, the girl thing ain't even until the last 20 minutes of the film, too. I mean, literally, it is Deadpool chasing this dude, because... Well, Deadpool believes that he could fix his face. That's what the whole thing was, because Ajax told him, he's like, I can cure you. And, you know, I love it because Deadpool sums up a plan. He's just like, find Ajax, have him cure me, then put a bullet in his head. I was like, So, and then really when it gets down to it, once, I love it because TJ Miller tells him to wear a mask, kind of like, you know, the whole Batman thing. He's just like, oh, wear a mask. But... This is the first hero that wears a mask with the eyeballs that actually white out the eyeballs and shit like that. I was like, oh, that was a cool little feature there. But that, I mean, that's pretty much the plot. So I was like, yeah, this is very simple. But I got to say, and people, this is my second review I'm doing. I went on a very long rant, and I'm just going to sum that up by saying, excuse me. fuck you, Bryan Singer. Yeah. Fuck you right in the ass. But I've been saying this for fucking 16 goddamn years now, and I'm gonna say it again. This is the truest form of an X-Men film property I have ever fucking seen. Now, I made a joke on Spoiler of the Movie when Wayne said, we all know what the greatest 90s cartoon was, but for me, X-Men made series was my shit. X-Men was the first comics I read, X-Men everything, it had so much storytelling, not even... I have so much hope for X-Men. When I saw those fucking films, they're just generic ass, boring action films that focus on one character instead of bringing in the social satire or anything like that at all. And watching this movie, just hearing him pick apart, I'm going like, this is what this fucking franchise should have been like since fucking day one, okay?
Especially when he's literally ripping shit on him and ripping shit on the storyline and ripping shit on the timeline. And then he's like, oh, you know, he turns to the camera when he's at Xavier's house. He's like, oh, yeah, Peter's been thinking to afford two X-Men in this franchise because...
Oh, that shit was...
because we're too cheap.
The one thing about this movie, well, at least with X-Men in general, I'm glad that as the years pass, people are starting to see, yeah, those Bryan Singer ones really wasn't all that good. I'm like, I've been fucking saying that for the long... Goddamn, thank you and shit. But one of my main... But we talked about this in a previous movie, so is... Bryan Singer, his fucking fetish for fucking leather clothing and shit like that. Put them in their goddamn costume. You got Negasonic Teenage Warlord in here, and she is in the fucking traditional X-Men uniform that they should have been fucking wearing in Days of Future Past. Instead, they had this fucking leather shit on. And then you see the chip for Apocalypse. Me and Wayne, last movie we reviewed was fucking Hunger Games. Wayne, do these costumes not look the same from Hunger Games that they wear in Apocalypse?
You know, as I think when the first X-Men came out, I could deal with it, but it's gone to the stage now. It just looks the same, you know. And I think it was you and Cody that said the only one that stands out is Magneto because he has similar costume that it's meant to look like. Whereas none of the motherfuckers do. Besides Beast because he's a fucking blue hairball, but otherwise, no one else has their costume.
That blows my fucking mind about it. And, you know, First Class was the one I gave major props to because we got rid of Bryan Singer's punk ass and we brought in an actual talented director named Matthew Vaughn who actually knows how to make comic book films. Check out his film Kingsman from last year, people. He actually knows how to make radar comic book films and stuff like that. And he put them in the costume that Negasonic was wearing here. And then we get the Days of Future Past, and we revert back to this black leather shit. And you're just like, motherfucker, man. They're in the time periods of the 70s, 80s, and you got Magneto rolling around in this fucking purple outfit, but yet you think it's too goddamn cartoonish to put them in these yellow costumes here. Man, fuck you, Bryan Singer, seriously.
And, like, I mean, the same thing you and Cody spoke about. They did show fucking Wolverine's costume in the last Wolverine movie, and it was deleted out. And it looked fucking good. It's like, use that shit. Hugh Jackman's going to retire from the role. Let him wear the suit once. Just once.
They keep teasing that fucking outfit in like multiple photos talking about will he wear it in the last and third one. I'm just like, okay, you know what? It's not a tease is something where you just like, okay, in the Avengers, you have Thanos show up or something like that. Showing somebody's fucking costume and asking if he's going to wear it or not, that's not a fucking tease.
You imagine if you did the Batman trilogy and at the end of Dark Knight Rises, he finally puts the suit on.
That's kind of like Smallville or Arrow where they at the end of the show, he opens up a crate or something like that and the costume is there. It's just like, that's not a fucking tease for me or whatever because it's like, I know he should already be wearing that goddamn costume.
Thank you.
And Bryan Singer, fuck you, dude. I think you're one of the worst goddamn directors working today. Actually, you know what? This movie, I'm going to get so much shit for this, but I don't give a fuck. Actually,
tell them.
Even voice of the voices, goddamn. But you know what? This movie actually made me fucking can't stand those X-Men movies even more now. I can't stand every inch of them fucking bones. Some First Class, they got rid of Bryan Singer's punk ass. Whatever. And I don't give a fuck. Who liked them films? You were dropped on the head as a fucking child if you liked those films.
I like Days of Future Past, but you are right about the costumes. It was like, why revert back to something that worked? it's fucking irritating, and it worries me what they're going to do with the next one.
My problem with the X-Men films today, except for First Class, is they just seem to be going by who's the biggest actor or actress in them, and let's focus the storyline on. You watch that trailer for Apocalypse, Jennifer Lawrence is all over that shit.
Oh, yeah, that is true.
It fucking annoys me because it's like she's the replacement for Hugh Jackman or whatever. It's just like, okay, who the fuck is she to be leading the X-Men against Apocalypse? I was just like, man, fuck this bitch. it really annoys me about that.
It's called X-Men Apocalypse. Why don't they center on the fucking character Apocalypse? Make him the main character, goody or villain. Who gives a shit? It doesn't matter. If he's the more interesting character, let it tell from his side of the story.
I seriously hate Bryan Singer so goddamn much that I can fucking.
Oh, he made a great Superman movie. Come on.
Basically, how you and Luke feel about Don Justice, this is how I feel about Bryan Singer.
Oh, jeez. Oh, God.
Reverse. Yeah, it's on that level. That's how I fucking feel about him. I give him his credit, whatever, when it's due, but when it gets down to it, as far as making the property or anything like that, that guy takes the biggest fucking shit on anything I've ever fucking seen in my goddamn life. I fuck that dude in the ass, whatever. But Deadpool here, this movie is a fucking blast. It is fun. Yes. It's exciting. The action in it is fucking great. The opening of that car chase was... Well, actually, it's the taxi cab scene.
Even the taxi guy. The taxi guy. I don't know what his fucking name was. Even he was a good character.
Dopinger. Dopinger.
Dopinger. Whatever his fucking name was. Even he was an awesome character. He's in it for like 5 minutes max.
Yeah, that was Karan Soni. He plays Dopinger. Dopinder in the film, whatever. You hear in the trailer, and he's like, "Pull me over right here." And when he jumps into the van and shit like that, the action was fucking brutal. Oh, shit,
the shit he's doing, like breaking bones and fucking knee him in the balls and cigarette lighter.
The one dude he kicked out of the passenger door, he got caught in the seatbelt, and they dragged him on the freeway. Yeah. I was laughing my, and then the one dude who he made stop the brakes on, he flew back into the front seat and he took the cigarette lighter or whatever and he put it in his mouth and he said, "I normally don't say this, but don't swallow."
Don't swallow. And after that, you're like, yeah, Deadpool's so fucking awesome.
Like, you know, the thing about the movie too, because a lot of people was worried how could he keep the fourth wall going or whatever. They do a lot of the fourth wall, but I don't think it's overbearing.
But they do it in such a way that every time they do it, it's a brilliant way to do it. Even when he breaks the fourth wall and then he breaks it again, he's like, "We're like breaking 16 walls now in one go."
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. He says, "Imagine breaking four walls here and four walls over there." And then I love because as he's saying that, Colossus is just like, "You know I can hear you. I'm not fucking talking to you. Like, I'm not fucking talking to you right now. I'm talking to them."
I think that's the thing you probably liked and. Is the fact that he's literally telling the X-Men to go fuck themselves. Like, in actual dialogue, like, "Go fuck you, and fuck you, Colossus." And you won't get that in any of the X-Men movies, because they will keep it PG, naturally.
Oh, and that was fucking great, too, when they showed Xavier's mansion, and then you see Colossus eating the cereal and shit, and he's just like, "Oh, Deadpool." And you see the explosions on the freeway, and then when they get there, he's just like, "I ain't got time for your X-Men bullshit right now, Colossus." And then she was like, "Who the hell are you right now? Negasonic Tina, what the fuck?" Yeah.
I loved all the nicknames he was giving to her. It's like, "Hey, it's Ripley from Alien 3.
Yeah, Sinead O'Connor.
Poor fucking girl. And it's just insulting.
I so hate the girl, the guy that purchased her in the prom sex. The comedy was just on point, man. Like, as far as the adult comedy, I was like, this is just brilliant here. But, his inclusion of the X-Men shit had me, it was pretty fucking loud. My favorite line in the whole damn movie, though, is when he tried to fight Colossus, and Colossus, every time he punched him, his like bones just kept breaking and shit like that. And then Colossus handcuffs him and says, "It's time to take you to the professor." And he's like, "Oh, which one, McAvoy or..."
"Oh, sure, your timelines are too confusing." As he's being dragged away with his limp body, and I was like,
yeah, because his leg is like cocked up sideways and shit, and then his hands are like wobbling and shit, and the camera lingers on that because it's a funny visual gag or how his body is just dismembered and
he's
shit.
He's literally like meat just being dragged along, yeah. And he's still cracking shit.
And he's just like, let's take you to the professor now. And he's just like, oh, which one, McAvoy or Stewart? The timeline's all fucked up right now.
The worst thing is half the audience got it and half didn't hear. I'm fucking laughing my ass off. Like, oh,
my whole theater was just laughing. I think at that one line there, I was laughing the hardest. I was fucking laughing the hardest. I've never laughed so fucking hard in a comedy like this or whatever. It was just hilarious. And then when he cuts his arm off and shit like that.
It's like, if you haven't seen that movie, was it, 124 hours later or whatever it is?
Yeah,
spoiler alert. He chops his head.
He says, well, I hate to break this to you, kid, but if you haven't seen 127 hours later, spoiler alert.
They're fucking hacking away at his hand. And even then, he hacks his hand off while still giving the finger to fucking yeah. Block. I fucking love this guy.
But I love how his hand started growing back.
It's his tiny little fucking hand. It's like, what the fuck?
I love it when he put it on her head, dude.
He's like, okay, well, I love the line where he's literally, he's literally living with Uhura, the original Star Trek black, what's her name? I can't remember who played the fucking, what her name is.
She's like, Leslie Ugham's played her. She's Blind Alice. Yeah. She's actually in the Deadpool comic, too.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. Okay,
she was a great character as well.
She's a crackhead in there.
He's on the couch, and he's got, like, this small hand, and he's like, you know what? My dick is going to be feel so big in this. What? It comes out of nowhere.
When he catches up with the storyline and the plot that he's telling and shit, he's like, uh-oh, you weren't supposed to see that. He's jerking off with a fucking unicorn. And then I love it because the first time we meet Blind, well, not the first time we meet Blind Al, but when he gets to the house and Blind Al's there, he's just like, I don't have time for this shit. He grabs a unicorn and a book and a big bottle of lotion and just goes to
he just walks off.
He's got his Croc shoes on. He's like, ah, so comfortable.
He has no respect for blind people at all. No. I love it. She's building this IKEA cupboard, just falls apart. He's like, ah.
He says, how about you pay for rent and I start to build the stuff that because I have eyes and shit like that. He's like, ah, it reeks like old lady pants. And even when he walked in the door, he like made a thrust at her or whatever because she was bent over. And he's like, ugh. I was like, wow, that's something I would do.
it's like he has no respect at all. And that's what's great with the character is he literally respects no one or anything.
Well, because, I mean, I was going to say to you, I was going to like, this is the greatest anti-hero since The Crow, but we haven't seen too many anti-heroes.
You know, funnily enough, you're the only one to actually think about that. When I was watching this, I was like, The Crow was probably the very first dark-rated comic book movie brought to screen. Everyone's going to say, oh, The Punisher. No, that didn't fucking count because that wasn't The Punisher.
Well anti-hero at yeah. That, too, you know? Yeah, I wouldn't even call the... I don't know. Some iterations call The Punisher anti-hero, but some don't. I mean, because he would never kill good guys or anything like that.
Oh, not in this way by cracking jokes.
Yeah, oh, hell no.
I mean, The Punisher should be almost as brutal as this, but mm-hmm. Yeah, with a more deadly serious attitude. Honestly,
oh, that's why Punisher and Deadpool work so well in the comics.
Oh, like, I would love to see that shit.
right now, the team up that they have going on with Deadpool is Hawkeye, and they work fucking great together. I mean, the comics does such a great job with Deadpool when he teams up with the Punisher or Hawkeye, and it's just so fucking good because they're almost damn near three of the same characters in a way.
You just saw that I would give anything for Fox do a deal to have this motherfucker walk into the next Avengers and just start cracking shit at Tony Stark and fucking Captain America. I would love to see this guy fucking around with Captain America.
It was one thing because you know Deadpool is a cross between Wolverine and Spider-Man, and I mean, yeah, I would love to see him. You know, I was watching this movie though, and I have to say, I don't want to see him a crossover with X-Men films unless just like quick cameos and shit like that. Because I think that the Deadpool is such a larger than life character. I think it would be a waste of screen time for him if he was to be with a team.
Oh, like, as a cameo, it would be good if they, you know, try to bring him in. You're like, oh, fuck you, I'm not doing your shit. You know?
Yeah, like, if he had, like, breaking the fourth wall moment where he just popped up out of nowhere and said, fuck off or something like that, yeah, that'd be great. But if he was in the whole movie as part of the team or something like that,
nah,
I don't think it would work. I don't think it would, like...
they tried that once. It didn't fucking work out.
At first, it would take too much screen time off of him, and he's too animated as a character. To be taken off of screen too much.
He's like a cartoon character.
Well, pretty much, yeah. I mean, because the director here, he's kind of like an animated animated director in a way, because he did shorts that were animated and stuff like that. So, yeah, I think that that's why this director probably was that good for this role here. So, yeah. But Negasonic, they even do a lot of cool things with her, and she literally is in one book, and she has one line, and she dies.
Damn. I was going to say, I've never heard of it before, no wonder.
Yeah, that's why. she has one line, and then right after that line, she dies. She does a Samuel L. Jackson in Deep Blue Sea.
Jeez, that's why they grabbed her character, because she'd be cheap. We'll put her in it.
There's a lot of obscure X-Men, old X-Men references in here and stuff like that, too. And I think that's why they picked her and teamed her up with Colossus, which, by the way, $30 million, Bryan Singer, and these Negroes got fucking Colossus right for once. Why you can't get your lazy ass up and do something with Colossus, huh?
Yeah, because a lot of people have said that he does not have the Russian accent in some of the X-Men movies. And I'm like, that's fucking true. He doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He didn't have any fucking accent.
How the fuck can you fuck that up?
You know why? Because he didn't have fucking lines in none of those movies. That's
that's probably true.
Yeah, one fucking line in those movies, whatever. Because everybody was. I've been saying this for fucking 16 years. Every other X-Men character in those fucking films are just background drops. Okay, they serve no fucking purpose. If you don't have a name attached to you, you don't get no dialogue scenes. Or anything
that's
like that.
Because he's appeared in. He's definitely in X-Men 2. He was in X-Men Last Stand, and he was in the last one, Days of Future Past. And you know what? The motherfucker hasn't spoken. You're right.
Bryan Singer don't know how to fucking work. Bryan Singer doesn't know how to work with a full wide cast like this. I'm telling you this right now. He doesn't know how to use every character to their potential in films and stuff like that. That's why when I saw Matthew Vaughn do First Class or whatever, I was like, this was meant to be a Magneto and Xavier film, but Beast, Mystique, everyone else is getting a background story and stuff like that, whether it's small or not. Everybody else is utilized here. And then you get to the Bryan Singer film, you're just like, if you don't have a big name, Bryan Singer don't give a fuck about you.
Actually, yeah. That's why we never got a fucking Gambit in it.
Yeah, and that's why Brett Ratner killed Scott.
Oh, God. We don't talk about that guy.
In the first fucking 5 minutes of the goddamn film.
That's still the worst X-Men.
I almost walked out, to be honest. I almost walked out. I was just like, yep, I think because those first two movies, I said that after I walked out of X2. I was just like, they might as well just fucking kill Cyclops and just put Wolverine in the fucking mix with it. And then as soon as Last Stand came, I was like, damn. I was like, how could you not see this coming or whatever? It's just like, yeah, she's going to be the main character of the third film, and he's already been the main character of the franchise or whatever. You got to have a love interest between the two main characters and shit. Like, I was like, yeah, that was like, this is just following some typical Hollywood standard bullshit films here, and fuck this film here, but Deadpool manages to avoid that, all of that, and then the action scenes at the end were pretty damn great, I gotta say.
Oh, they were fucking awesome. I must say, the action in general in this movie, mixed with the comedy, it worked so well. It really fucking worked. And even people that aren't fans, like, I'm not even a huge, like, character, comic book fan like you guys are. Like, you and Cody would know Deadpool a lot more than I would. However, I know the basic of him, and watching this just makes me want to go and read the comics more. And because it is, he literally, you relate to the guy because he's a smart ass. He's an arrogant, cocky asshole. And I'm like, that's me. That's perfect.
I love when he was talking to the taxi driver though. When he was like, "Dope pit danger. What is in your trunk right now?"
Love that shit.
And then you got Colossus in the back. He's just like, "You got to free him." And then Deadpool's just like, "I did not tell you to say that. Kill him."
This guy, literally, the taxi guy, has a love interest that has ran off with his cousin or some shit, and he makes the mistake of telling Deadpool this, and then when they first encounter, Deadpool's like, oh, you know what you do, you kidnap him and all this shit, and of course this guy goes and does it. Deadpool's like, I never told you to do that, kill him. And it's like,
he's like, why don't you, he's like, it's not like I'm telling you to drive up this street and drop him off in the river somewhere, whatever, do that.
My favorite part though is, if you want to win it back, you got to win it back with your love. You know, kidnap her. God damn it.
And then I love it because when he's exiting the car, he signals his hand across his throat and go like, it's the job.
Like, I think he's like, should kids go and watch this? Absolutely they should.
Which, by the way, people, that dude in his trunk died.
When he tries to call him because he left his guns in the truck, runs up the fucking back of the taxi.
My whole theater went, oh, fuck. You see the blood falling out the trunk of the car and shit.
And I probably start moving, we just laugh at the shit.
This taxi cab, people, a truck came in front of him, he hit a hard brake, and the car behind him ran and crushed the back of his fucking car.
That shit was fun. I want to go see this movie again now.
Yeah, I think I am going to see it again. But I love because he's like, I only got 12 bullets, so daddy's got to count. He got shot in the asshole, Wayne. Oh.
Now, when else will you ever see that in any film ever again?
I love it. As he started dancing, he's like, ugh. He's like, daddy's got to make him count. And the dude that shot him in the asshole, he wasted like 4 bullets on him. He's just like, worth it.
Even then where he finally captures Francis, he stabbed him. He's like throwing fucking hubcaps and shit in his head. Just like, fucking hell, man.
When I saw that, I was like, damn, this movie's going to be short then. And when I saw it, like, you already caught this dude. And then, like you said, he's throwing hubcaps.
Yeah,
and
Colossus is like trying to talk to him. He goes
over every now and then, just punches him in the fucking face and shit like that. I love the scene though, where he's just, I am so masturbating tonight.
And literally, the moment I heard that, I thought, "Yep, P1."
Yeah, because I would get turned on if I did something that cool like that. I love it because he's just like, "You guys are gonna have to share bullets now. I know it's not the first time for you guys." But I love when the car is flipping over and he has that photo. Have you seen this man?
It's his fucking crayon drawing he's on. It just has Francis written across it.
It's a crayon drawing of him shooting Francis in the head. And I love it because the car is flipping in slow motion. And you could see everyone, how they're dying in that car in slow motion. Like one dude's being strangled by the seatbelt. One, the dude that was like dropping on the ground and being dragged with the car and shit, he's hanging outside and shit. And then you see Deadpool, and he comes out, and it just stops and says, shit, did I leave the oven on? That was Wayne.
Oh, yeah. Hey, if I was Deadpool cooking, shit, absolutely. I'd be proud to be Deadpool.
it was just those little moments of me that was fucking. Oh, not to mention when we got to talk about, they had the Wolverine origin Deadpool.
Oh, the action figure. He was fucking around with it. Did they actually have an action figure? Did they just make that shit for this movie?
I think they made that shit for this movie.
Oh, they because I don't remember. There's no way they would have an action figure of that shit.
But do you remember when he said, God, I wish we could sew his fucking mouth shut. And then Ryan Reynolds looked and said, I don't think that'd be a good idea now.
And a lot of people might not get that reference, but yeah. Oh, God. It's the biggest mistake they made in that movie.
No, but you go back to Ryan Reynolds acting, you were dead right, because the look on his face when his eyes got big when he saw that, and he said, I don't think that'd be a good idea. Man, that was the biggest wink to the camera without him even winking at the camera. I was like, Jesus Christ. It's one of the best comedies I've seen in quite some time.
Oh,
I mean,
God, yeah. And even about spoiling it, we've got to get to the way he finishes Francis off. Colossus giving this beautiful speech about, you know, you don't need to be a hero 5 out of 5 times. You know, you only one.
He says you don't need to be a hero all the time.
All the time, yeah. Only maybe five. He's got this massive speech about it. And
they got this music in the background playing too. It's like, oh, it's like heroic and shit like that.
And you see this bang and fucking shoot. He's like, what? He's like, you're just fucking going on and on. Like, yes.
And the best thing about it is we shot him with a fucking pea shooter.
Yeah, no other guns.
He shot him with the pea shooter he got from that blind bitch and stalking.
His blood goes over freaking Colossus. He's like, why? You just kept going on.
Oh, and the fight scene between Colossus and Angel. Oh. That was fucking awesome, man. It's funny, those two were on screen fighting for at least about 3 minutes. And I was like, wow, they got more chemistry than most of the X-Men movies do.
That's sad, but true.
I was like, wow, because I was like, man, I love it because when her titty popped out, Claus was like, being all jealous. He's like, my black ass would have been like, damn! I ain't gonna lie, like, I wasn't checking her out, but then when that titty popped, I was like, those things are big. I was like, holy shit.
Hey, when she did UFC, I know she had to, you know, strap down because she was a big breasted girl.
I got a boner like a motherfucker in that theater. When I was like, holy shit, I was like, uh-oh, I can't get up now.
until the dick punch came in.
Yeah, then the dick punch came in. I said, oh, I'm still hard though, girl.
you are Deadpool.
Yeah, but I love it because the ending scene, you know, you see Colossus and Negasonic and Vanessa, they're standing there, and Deadpool comes out and say, wow, what a, oh, shit. He gets tackled by Ajax and shit, and then they're fighting, and he breaks Ajax's arm and start punching him, then he pulls a gun out, and then this music kicks in. Colossus is like, 4 out of 5 times, and he's like, he just looks at him, what? He's like, you don't have to be a hero all the time, just 4 or 5 moments in your life is what happens. Rather, you're saving one you love, sparing your arch enemy, anything like that. And then, like Wayne said, you hear this loud gunshot, and then Claus just starts throwing up. He's like, oh! He's like, you just kept talking, blah, blah, blah. Because I love it because Ajax throughout the whole movie keeps saying, say my name, whatever. And she's like, oh, what is my name? Yeah. And then he puts a gun at his head and just like, he's like, I'm not going to waste my fucking breath on your name. He said, you're going to know what your name is after this bullet hits you.
Oh, but even a bit before that, where he kills all of his henchmen, he just spells his name out with all the body parts.
Yeah.
Fuck it, damn.
I'm sorry, but one of my favorite action scenes, though, is when he straight up turned that dude into a kebab and he just started talking. He was just like, he's like, I bet you're wondering why. Don't you thought that this was going to be a super joke film?
Your boyfriend's brought you just to this nice romantic film.
Yeah, exactly. But now I bet you're wondering why that superhero just turned that guy into a fucking kebab.
And it cuts away and tells a backstory. Then it cuts back to him slicing him in half.
But then before it cuts back to the backstory, it shows the bullet in his asshole still smoking. Why does that heal, Bo?
Who the fuck knows? Who knows?
Well, final thoughts, Wayne.
Oh, man, look. If you can't tell, that we both love this film.
Yeah, I guess I had a damn good time.
And, look, you said it clear. Honestly, I mean, there's been how many comic book movies lately? I mean, they're nonstop. And this is one of the best ones I've seen in a long fucking time. And we've had some good... Winter Soldier, I love. But this is just a totally different style of comic book movie, for sure.
Well, I'm about to say, this really, on all of the series, this really takes a shot at DC on how to do dark, though.
Oh, God, yeah.
I was like, you want to be this, like, because, you know, I feel like Marvel has found...
You just remind me of a line.
I feel like Marvel, I've been saying this for a long time, Marvel has found, they know how to do the family-friendly films, they know how to do the really serious tone, and then they know how to mix both of them and just make it almost a radar version of a family-friendly film with Guardians or Daredevil, and now, you know, you got Deadpool here and shit, and I feel like DC is still struggling to find that tone of how to fucking keep going dark.
They just keep going dark and think that's what people want.
Yeah, exactly, and I think that Deadpool is another Marvel film that set another tone for the Marvel brand. I mean,
honestly, you go back to the original Batman days, okay? Tim Burton's one was dark, but it was still kid-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Returns went very dark, and then they lost their way. They weren't sure what the fuck to do with Batman Forever and became this fucking shitty, light-ass, friendly, dark tone. They couldn't get the balance right at all, and DC's always had that fucking trouble. Green Lantern, Man of Steel.
They definitely didn't know what to do with Green Lantern. Yeah.
And it's good. And I've got to mention the line, too, where Deadpool takes a shot at the fact that Batman and Robin are gay.
And yeah.
He's like, he's talking to the, what's her name, the blind chick.
The blind owl, yeah.
He's like, yeah, you're like my Robin, but you know, you're not gay. Well, maybe Batman and Robin, they're gay. I'm like, damn.
I think, though, it's weird. And I think the difference between Marvel and DC here is that you just said it best, going all the way back to, you know, the 80s and stuff like that, DC's only worked with Batman and Superman. Yeah. Whereas with Marvel, from the beginning, they've made things, they didn't knock the thing off with Spider-Man for the biggest hero first. I mean, they had like Captain America movies back then and Fantastic Four and Punishers and all these other type of heroes and shit like that. Like, they've dwelled in all of their characters to the point where they know how to play around with different tones of character. Where in DC, they've only dealt with two characters for so long now that they're just now getting into the range of just like, okay, how do we do? They don't have any failures of other characters to know how to fix them.
That is so true. When you honestly think about it, they had Captain America movie that failed dismally. Fantastic Four movie well back before the fucking famous ones that failed.
Daredevil.
They had all that shit. They had Punisher. That was all shit. So they learned from their mistakes. And even though it wasn't really Marvel behind all that kind of shit, it was still their property. Mm-hmm. And they learned. They fucking learned. And now look what they've done. They've given it to the mouse, and he's created this goddamn empire that people love.
Oh, yeah. I feel like, because, you know, those early Marvel movies were shit. I mean, they were complete shit.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it's easy to see it's kind of paid off for them because they look at those as mistakes on how not to go about them now and stuff like that. And which is why, you know, Daredevil is today, I mean, easily it crosses over anything that movie's ever done or whatever because they know how to handle the problem. Whereas in DC, they've only done Batman and Superman. They don't know how to work with their other characters no more. That's why Green Lantern was just so all over the fucking place. They didn't know what the hell to do with that. I mean, they barely know what to do with Batman these days, to be honest.
Batman, they're almost Batman now. They've lost. Man of Steel. Well, we'll make him like Batman. No, that's not fucking Man of Steel for sake. And then, of course, you're going to have Aquaman. You're going to have Wonder Woman. And they're going to fuck all of them up. I'll predict it here. They're going to fuck all those goddamn films up because they don't know what to do with them. And you are so right when you fucking say that.
Yeah. Final thoughts, Wayne.
What a great way. I know this is not obviously your first film of 2016 because you had to see 50 Shades of Black and that kind of crap. But what was the better comedy? Deadpool? Okay, whatever.
Oh, man. that theater that I was in, that was
a good one. Honestly, final thought. This is a great way to kick off the year for me. Absolutely loved it. Not just for a comic book movie.
Was this the first movie you've seen this year?
I want the chipmunks, but that shit doesn't fucking count.
Oh, yeah. Well, you saw that? Okay, yeah, I guess that was.
Because that was after, yeah. Technically, that was my first year. Fucking disgraceful piece of shit. No, it's not my first movie of the year, but definitely so far. The highlight, loved it. For an action movie, great. For a comedy movie, one of the fucking funniest things I've seen in a long time.
For a date movie, I was going
to do. I did take Jamie to it. She liked it. She really did.
I gotta say, I'm not even joking about that. There is a lot of heart in the film too. When it is him out of the costume, I would say that there is some their relationship felt real.
Yeah, and look, I'm honestly saying Jamie loved this movie. She actually really did love it. And I would say you definitely would take your wife, your love, your girlfriend, take them because they will enjoy this. And if they don't, well, end your relationship.
Yeah, well, listen to the beginning of this review and how I said, that other critic said, "Fuck that other guy."
Well, do what the taxi driver did and kidnap him.
And kill him.
Oh, but yeah, look, as a rating, shit. Honestly, I'd have to go pretty high for a high set.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really would. I mean, I had a feeling I was going to like this movie, but really, like, the fact that I walked out of it really fucking hyped and really loved it, that was a major surprise for me. And I think the more I watch it, the more I'm going to love it, because you're going to pick up on more of the fucking jokes and a lot of the inside shit. The only thing that does worry me is the fact that maybe the jokes can get old, because they're very today jokes. You know, they're giving shit to, obviously, the previous Deadpools and the X-Mens and shit. But I think it can carry over the years and still be funny. But I love this movie. I think
you're right on that, because I think with Deadpool, it's whether this movie's gonna be good for a year, it's gonna deal with time. Because you know the time now is, if this movie is successful, which I'm sure it will be and stuff like that, Fox is gonna milk this shit.
Oh God, yeah.
They're gonna wear this shit out to where you watch this first movie. Yeah, maybe the jokes probably won't stick as much as it will, because I guarantee that they're gonna do shit that we don't even want to see or anything like that, because you know. This shit's going to be out of Ryan Reynolds' control once they find out this shit makes money.
Yeah, you're right. You are 100% fucking right with that, too. Because you said they gave him the money to almost greenlight his own film, but he doesn't own the property, so...
No, and they didn't know if this was going to fail or not, and I'm pretty sure it was going to be a success, and people are going to be talking about this, and now Fox is going to be like, well, you know, we're still trying to kick that universe off. I'm serious. I don't want to see Deadpool in an X-Men movie, because I just think he's too alive of a character. There's even a stinger at the end, too, people.
Oh, was there?
Yeah, Stay of the Cribs, where he just says, what the fuck are you doing here still? Okay. The movie has ended. Leave. Just go. And then he comes back out and he just says, all right, spoiler alert, we're making a sequel. he says we're going to have Cable in it. It's going to be a bunch of other cameos and stuff like that. We're going to have a bigger budget. But he's just like, you know, we haven't cast anybody yet because God, who knows who the fuck is going to be doing the casting for the next film. But just get out of here. Go home.
even the end credits, they had some fucking hilarious, just the little animation with Deadpool.
Oh, the anime was great. He was jerking off a unicorn.
Rubbing up against what's the name's name and shit. I'm like, oh, yeah, and then like Ryan Reynolds comes up and he has a sign, he's hot.
Like, it was the first time I was like clapping in credit sequences, just out of the credit sequence, not for the movie, but the credit sequences. Just like, yes. I absolutely love this film.
Yeah, I knew you would. This is your film.
I fucking love this film. I think it's I think it's one of the most faithful, not just X-Men adaptation. I think it's one of the most faithful comic book adaptations I've seen personally. It's a shame that it's not. Actually, DC has a lot of anti-heroes. I don't know why the fuck they don't use them. Thinking about it now, whatever. Because you know, we don't see too many anti-heroes on screen, and you know, anti-heroes are always great. You know, because they're, you know, even though they're fighting bad guys, they're still dicks in a way. And everybody likes a character like that because they're entertaining as well and stuff like that. But I think this is, personally to me, I think it's one of the best X-Men movies ever made. One of the best X-Men adaptations made. Actually, it makes me look back at the other ones and go like, wow, they really were shit.
It makes you want to go back and watch Wolverine Origins.
No, not really.
What the fuck was that?
You know, it's funny because all these people that worked on all these X-Men films, Hugh Jackman, Bryan Singer, they all talk about how faithful and in love with the characters and stuff like that. This is the first time I've watched an X-Men film where someone said that they were in love with the character and stuff, and I saw it on screen.
I think everyone can tell Ryan Reynolds does know a lot about Deadpool, and he does love the character. And you can tell how pissed he is about Wolverine Origins. You can see it when he spoke about it. And when that movie came out, he's been trying to get this movie made since then.
Oh, yeah. You know, fuck yeah. Because he knew that was fucked up. And yeah, he definitely needs this.
He sure shows it in this movie.
And, you know, it's funny because Hugh Jackman constantly says how much he is in love with Wolverine. He's just like, yeah, I'm not seeing it in any solo movies. I'm really not.
He never read it. He never read the Wolverine until he got the fucking part.
Thank you. And he is just trolling like a motherfucker talking about how this third Wolverine movie is going to be the best thing you've ever seen. It's just like, man, you should not be saying that because now you're raising people's standards up. It's just like, if the last two wasn't that great, what the fuck are you... What are you doing, man?
I mean, look, Origins was a piece of shit. The last one...
It's forgettable.
It's not a horrible movie. It's just forgettable. It really is.
It does nothing. It's just like, you just watch it and just go like... And, you know, the funny thing is, too, is he had a bigger budget and stuff like that, and yet he could never get a rated R pushing or a blood or anything like that, and they gave Deadpool everything he wanted for and stuff like that.
They need a lower budget. You just summed it up there. Not maybe lower budget, but they need to take it down to like a not a grindhouse style, but something that's...
Why is a Wolverine budget that fucking high in the first place?
Thank you. It's a motherfucker with claws. What the fuck do you need budget for?
Yeah, I'm about to say, yeah, exactly. And then not to mention, if I'm not mistaken, Ryan Reynolds, when that movie came out, Ryan Reynolds was a bigger actor than Hugh Jackman was.
Oh, God, yeah. Ryan Reynolds has done a lot more.
Ryan Reynolds was a household name compared to fucking Hugh Jackman at the time. Maybe Hugh Jackman's got a little bit more edge to him now because Ryan Reynolds has had multiple fucking flops and failures in time since. But I think this is probably going to get him back on. Actually, he probably is Fox's saving grace right about now.
what else have they got? They lost Star Wars.
Yep, I see. You know they crying over that shit right now. Like, yeah, we fucked up.
We got Avatar. Like, yeah, that mouse is about to pinch that shit too.
Ridley, they yelling at Ridley, you better get that goddamn Aliens movie made. you better get that fucking shit made now, goddamn it. But no, I think this is one of the most faithful adaptations I've seen. It's a great action film. I laughed a lot. I laughed so hard, I got a headache a couple of times. I was like, man, you know, you kind of have to go back and see it a second time because so many people are laughing so hard and you're laughing. You might miss some jokes.
Oh, you do. Because it's like literally a line and then everyone's laughing and he says some other smart-ass thing. You're like, oh, fuck, I missed it.
Yeah, the characters in here are great. T.J. Miller was funny. Actually, you know, it was funny because I was like, damn, T.J. Miller could have been Deadpool too.
Actually, You're right. Even the side characters are really good in this. They really are. Oh,
yeah. Colossus, he's great. The CG was a little clunky on him, but he was still fucking fantastic. It was nice to see a fucking Colossus that was faithful to the adaptations. And plus, he reminded me of the X-Men 90s cartoon so much, playing that wholesome good guy. But they had him in here a little bit older, which I liked. I love the callbacks. So many Easter eggs in this film. There's so many that I'm blanking on some of them right now. I want to go over. I love the end jokes. I love the everything about this movie. I love. I mean, I think it's one of my favorite superhero films I've seen in quite a while. I hate to say that because you know everybody always says that when a new thing comes out, it's like oh, but I gotta say this is probably the most memorable superhero film for me as far as just absolutely falling in love with right off the bat. I absolutely love the shit out of this film. I'm with Wayne. I gotta give it a high C.
Yeah, we fuck shit. We agree. Now that's rare, people. Come on,
no, right?
Yeah. that's gonna tell you something.
Has Wayne ever given a high C, by the way?
I don't think so. Shit.
He saw Creed, Mad Max, and Star Wars didn't even get a high C for
him. Oh, shit. They're a different kind of thing. I think because you go in, I'm trying not to be biased towards them, so, you know, obviously now I'd give them a high C, but straight off the bat, seeing this, I was really surprised at how good and how much I really did fucking love this. I was expecting to like it, but to really like it like this, that was a shock to me.
And the talent really does go into, because I think the style of how it was directed, I think that was even unique for an origin story, how they went back and forth between the present time and the past time and stuff like that. And I think that a lot of the credit got to go to the production team on this, because a lot of them are just first-timers, first-time directors, barely, almost first-time writers. They only wrote two fucking movies before this and stuff like that. You know, it's a lot of first-time people working on this film, and to do what they did so creative with such a limited resource on them, I think that was just fucking incredible itself, to be honest.
And that's what you just summed up, that limited resources bring out fucking creativity. Just throwing budget and money at shit doesn't always make it good.
You know? Bryan Singer.
I didn't say anyone's name.
Well, like I said, this was a movie spoiler review, Bryan Singer, so you can go to hell and go fuck yourself down a goddamn grave, you stupid son of a bitch.
Ditto.
Oh, I so pity the dude who pressures her into prom sex.
Greetings, Munchkins. Did you like that dose of Green Band goodness? Hankering for a little more action? Some big boy curse words, maybe? Check out DeadpoolWebsite.com for my Red Band trailer. Make sure to ask your mommy and tell her to call me. She's got the number.